بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فلولا كانت قرية آمنت فنفعها إيمانها إلا قوم يونس لما آمنوا كشفنا عنهم عذاب الخزي في الحياة الدنيا ومتعناهم إلى حين. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: اذكروا محاسن موتاكم. وقال عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه: كل يوم يقال فيه مات فلان ومات فلان، ولا بد من يوم يقال فيه مات عمر، أو كما قال. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, much has been said by the prominent guests, and I have been truly humbled, and this again speaks volumes on the caliber of Maulana Mansur al-Haq. And this was an outstanding feature and salient quality of Maulana Yunus rahmatullah alayhi as well, is to pay tribute to humble, simple, ordinary people, thereby give tashjee and inspiration to us to inshallah draw from their kind words. I quoted a quotation of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, who used to say, every day people bring news to me on the death of others. Hence, by the pattern of life, news will be brought to them about my death one day. Every day people bring news to me that this one passed away, that one passed away. By the pattern of life, by the pattern of life, one day news will be brought to others that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu has passed away. And we know this very tragic moment came upon Sahaba. My mind was doing some gymnastics, if I may use the phrase, and I was trying to begin to imagine what happened to Sahaba when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. Safiya radiallahu anha, in her moment of aspiration and desire and hope, said, فَلَوْ أَنَّ رَبَّ الْعَرْشِ أَبْقَاكَ بَيْنَنَا سَعِدْنَا فَلَوْ أَنَّ رَبَّ الْعَرْشِ أَبْقَاكَ بَيْنَنَا سَعِدْنَا وَلَكِنْ أَمْرُهُ كَانَ مَاضِيًا. If Allah accepted our prayer and prolonged your life in our presence, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our jubilation would have known no limit. But then ultimately his decision prevails. وَلَكِنْ أَمْرُهُ كَانَ مَاضِيًا. What Allah decides happens. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu passed away, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I did not see a more sad day in Medina. And he said, وَإِنِّي لَأَحْسِبُ الْعِضَاهَ قَدْ وَجَدَ فَقْدَ عُمَرَ. I believe today it's not the humans that only mourn the demise of Sayyidina Umar. I believe the lifeless and inanimate objects are equally crying over the separation of Umar radiallahu anhu. The Arabic poet said, and just one couplet of it, لا يترك الموت ذا جاه لعزته لا يترك الموت ذا جاه لعزته ولا الذي منه العلم يقتبس. The angel of death doesn't understand the language that this is a prominent sheikh. Just hang on, many are changing his lives. Many people are turning to him and their lives are changing positively. The angel of death does not differentiate. He does not identify with those sentiments. لا يترك الموت ذا جاه لعزته ولا الذي منه العلم يقتبس. And nor will the angel of death halt the removal of the soul from a person from whom knowledge is being taken and people's lives are being changed. A sad day indeed, the Arabic poet said, قد ذهب الناس ومات الكمال قد ذهب الناس ومات الكمال وصاح صرف الدهر أين الرجال هذا أبو العباس في نعشه قوموا فانظروا كيف تسير الجبال. He said, قد ذهب الناس, the great people have moved on, ومات الكمال, and virtue has equally passed on, وصاح صرف الدهر, leave the humans, the earth called out. Allah alone knows what the earth at Masjid al-Nur must be saying. Allah alone knows that environment. It is the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every person has a pathway. by virtue of which his actions ascend to the heavens. And when he passes away, those pathways lament the ascension of those virtues. So that just like if a person passed by my house daily and he passes away, I say, you know, early morning used to pass and he used to greet me and we used to have a light moment and sometimes a snack and he would come in. There are pathways through which our actions ascend. And when an evil person passes away, we know when the janazah was passing, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Mustarihun aw Mustarahun anhu. And these were the profound words of Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Is he in comfort by his death, or has his death brought comfort to us? Is he in comfort by his death, or has his death brought comfort to us? And Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, unpack that, elucidate, explain. He said, when a believer passes on, he moves into comfort. And when a sinner and a wicked and an evil person passes away, the entire world, including the trees and the oceans, they sigh with relief, one less of the earth. Mustarihun aw mustarahun anhu. So the Arabic poet said, قَدْ ذَهَبَ النَّاسُ. The prominent people have moved on. وَمَاتَ الْكَمَالُ. And virtue has equally passed on. وَصَاحَ صَرْفُ الدَّهْرِ. The earth has called out in its anguish, in its cry, أَيْنَ الرِّجَالُ. Is there anyone left? The poet goes on to say, هَذَا أَبُو الْعَبَّاسِ فِي نَعْشِهِ. In our context would be, هَذَا يُونُسُ فِي نَعْشِهِ. Here is the man lying in his, coffin. هَذَا أَبُو الْعَبَّاسِ فِي نَعْشِهِ. قُومُوا فَانْذُرُوا كَيْفَ تَسِيرُ الْجِبَالُ. He says, stand up and witness how these giants are taken and these mountains are moved and handed over to their final resting abodes. قُومُوا فَانْذُرُوا كَيْفَ تَسِيرُ الْجِبَالُ. The first consolation that we have, and obviously the death of such a prominent person brings to the fore so many etiquettes and aspects about the death, the last moments, the etiquettes of condoling, etc., is the recital of Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. In Surah Yusuf, under this ayah, Ya Asafa ala Yusufa wa biyadhat aynahu min al-huzni fahuwa kadhim. Ya Asafa ala Yusufa wa biyadhat aynahu min al-huzni fahuwa kadhim. When Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam lost his son Yusuf and was separated, he said, Ya Asafa, how I cry out for my son Yusuf. Under this ayah, in the tafsir, there is the narration of Ibn Jarir, the famous Mufassir. And likewise, there is a narration in Bayhaqi, in Shu'abul Iman, on the strength of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. And that is the recital of Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un is a speciality of this ummah, and no other ummah was favored with this word. Otherwise, Yaqub alayhi salam would have said Inna Lillahi. He would have not said Ya Asafa ala Yusuf. In his pain and his anguish, he said, how my heart cries out, how my heart cries out for my son Yusuf. So this is a very comforting word. It's a very consoling word. Its words are profound, its meaning is deep, and the reward for this is very great. Furthermore, we learn from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Inna Lillahi ma akhadh wa lahu ma a'ta. وَكُلٌّ عِنْدَهُ بِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. To Allah belongs what He has taken, and to Allah equally belongs what He has given us. You know, I was reading in the footnotes of Tafsir Uthmani, one word of Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani, Rahmatullah Ali, comes to mind. We know that Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Rahmatullah Ali previously suffered some major attacks, and we could relate to this with many people in our life. He said, Admi kabhi goli se bachta hai aur kankri se marta hai. Mawlana writes, Admi kabhi goli se bachta hai aur kabhi kankri se marta hai. When your time is up, sometimes you survive a bullet and you die with a simple cough. It's a matter of time. You know, a man had a triple bypass and we had great doctors and physicians, and it's touch and go and it's dicey and it's looking bleak, and subhanallah, he recovers. And yeah, he just inclines or leans to one side, and there's a pulse, and there isn't a pulse, and there is a moment of panic, and subhanallah, he's moved on. So the recital, Inna lillahi ma akhadh wa lahu ma a'ta. To Allah belongs what He has given us, and to Allah equally belongs what He has taken. Wa kullun 'indahu bi ajalin musamma. And everything has a stipulated time. فَلْتَصْبِرْ وَلْتَحْتَسِبْ. Now I recited before you some ayat of the Quran Kareem, and Allah put this humble thought in my mind, and that is relevance to the incident of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, and I just want to share some insight and create some correlation. Very briefly, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam was sent to a place, Mosul, north of Iraq, and specifically to a place called Nainwa. And there he gave da'wah to the people. For 7 years he engaged with them, he invited them, but they would not abandon their idol worship. Then he called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah said to him that if the people do not change, then within 3 days an azab is going to come. Within 3 days the azab of Allah is going to come. So Yunus alayhi salam, in the interim of the 3 days, he excused himself and he left. On the third morning, فَرَأَوْ حُمْرَةً وَسَوَادًا كَهَيْئَةِ النِّيرَانِ, they seen this dark cloud and this reddish fire that was circling and hovering above them. The community realized that the warning was now serious, the alarm bells were ringing, and the azab of Allah had arrived. This obviously created panic amongst them. And this is the point that I want to tie up. They started pacing up and down in the search of Yunus alayhi salam, but they did not find Yunus alayhi salam. So this is mentioned in Tafsir al-Samarqandi this afternoon. I read it, Bahrul Ulum. Somebody amongst them said a very beautiful thing. He said, إِلَّمْ تَجِدُوا يُونُسْ فَتَجِدُونَ رَبَّ يُونَسْ إِلَّمْ تَجِدُوا يُونُسْ فَتَجِدُونَ رَبَّ يُونَسْ. Listen, if Yunus is absent, trust me, his Lord is present. If Yunus is absent, in that context it was alayhi salam, in this context it's rahmatullah alayhi. But it hit me so hard, I said, subhanallah. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْهُمْ, it's in Tafsir al-Samarqandi, the ulama that would love to see it. إِلَّمْ تَجِدُوا يُونُسْ فَتَجِدُونَ رَبَّ يُونَسْ. The Lord of Yunus is present, he's omnipresent. And then in the footnotes of Tafsir al-Uthmani it's mentioned, they collectively said, let's chant one slogan. Amanna bima ja'a bihi Yunus. Amanna bima ja'a bihi Yunus. Oh Allah, we repent to you for not embracing the message of Yunus alayhi salam. But now that he has disappeared and he has become absent, and we've realized the seriousness of the matter, we now surrender to the teachings and the legacy of Yunus. We now surrender to the teachings and the legacy. And this is my call. My call is that the pious, as pious as they were, they used to draw lessons and advice from the death of the great scholars. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, Umar radiallahu anhu said, my relation to Abu Bakr was like a child that was being suckled by his mother. Abu Bakr was giving me milk. And Abu Bakr's death means I have been abruptly weaned off. وَالطِّفْلُ يُؤْلِمُهُ الْفِطَامُ وَالطِّفْلُ يُؤْلِمُهُ الْفِطَامُ. And any child that is weaned off goes through an uneasy period. Whether it's gradual or abrupt, it's painful. The mother goes through uneasiness. Sayyidina Umar said that the death of Abu Bakr has likened me to a child that has been weaned off. And hence, salamun ala dunya. Not that he had engaged in the world previously, but he said, I take the death of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that now I terminate my relation with this world in its entirety. When Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu passed away, Abu Humayd as-Sa'idi radiallahu anhu said, O my Allah, I had lived to see the death of such a great man and such a tragic death. Allahumma inna laka alayya alla af'al wala af'al wala adhaku hatta alqaak. O my Allah, I now vow to you that I've just seen how Uthman radiallahu anhu passed away. I need to make some changes with my life. And I need to make some serious changes with my life. And one of the vows I make from today till the angel of death knocks my door, I will never laugh again in my life. I'm saying, my brother, how I make a vow that as of today, I will not smile with a strange woman. Each man knows his weakness and his challenge, but some commitments. So anyway, at that moment, when this person said, listen, don't panic. If the Lord of Yunus is, if Yunus is gone, the Lord of Yunus is present. And then they started chanting the slogan, Amanna bima ja'a bihi Yunus. The Quran said, فَلَوْلَا كَانَتْ قَرِيَةٌ آمَنَتْ فَنَفَعَهَا إِيمَانُهَا إِلَّا قَوْمَ يُونُسْ لَمَّا آمَنُوا كشفنا عنهم عذاب الخزي في الحياة الدنيا ومتعناهم إلى حين. No nation's faith availed them in the 11th hour, in the critical juncture after seeing the azab. But a concession and an exception was made for the nation of Yunus alayhi salam. That after seeing the azab, at the point where iman is not accepted, فَلَمَّا رَأَوْا بَأْسَنَا قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ وَكَفَرْنَا بِمَا كُنَّا بِهِ مُشْرِكِينَ فَلَمْ يَكُ يَنْفَعُهُمْ إِيمَانُهُمْ لَمَّا رَأَوْا بَأْسَنَا. When they seen our azab, they all said, we brought iman. But that's not valid faith. That's not accepted faith. And the same ought to apply to the nation of Yunus. But we made an exception and we made an exemption and we accepted the nation and the iman of the nation of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. I don't think I would be wrong to say somehow the country of South Africa was the qawm Yunus, was the nation of Yunus, meaning Mawlana Rahmatullah alayhi, although his scope was far reaching and way beyond. And Allah has in a certain way rescued us and salvaged us by His presence. I was reading the quote of one of the great scholars, يقول أحد علمائنا السلف. He says, كنت إذا وهنت في العبادة وكسلت في العبادة ذهبت إلى محمد بن واسع الأسدي فنظرت في وجهه فتنشطت في العبادة أسابيع. He said, whenever I used to feel an anticlimax in my spirituality, and I used to feel lethargic in my drive, and I used to feel feeble in my salah, I used to go visit Muhammad ibn Wasi' rahmatullah alayhi, who was a great scholar of that time, and by merely glancing at him, my soul used to be energized for weeks on end. كُنْتُ إِذَا كَسَلْتُ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ وَوَهَنْتُ. When kasal and wahan used to set in, ذَهَبْتُ إِلَى مُحَمَّدِ ibn Wasi' al-Asadi. I used to just go there. فَقَدْ فِي النَّظْرِ. I used to glance at him and instantly my soul was energized. And I don't know how many hundreds and thousands of people will bear the similar sentiments that this is something they experience and they enjoy by the presence of Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi and many other ulama and mashaykh. So in that context, Allah has given us this opportunity. Another aspect that I want to touch on, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the hadith I quoted, obviously time is running out and I will try and conclude and wrap up. Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اُذْكُرُوا مَحَاسِنَ مَوْتَاكُمْ. Make it a conscious effort to speak about the virtues of the deceased. It has become a norm in our society that if somebody passes away, then in addition to attending the funeral, we feel it our moral obligation that in the weekend we have to go sit there. And especially if I'm not at the funeral, then I got to pay my respect, which is brilliant. But I'm afraid the time at home has been wasted. The time at home has been wasted. You and I will not speak about this man anywhere else but on this occasion. Last week we were going to Mauritius for a few days in Jamaat and we're coming back. Then I picked up a book at the airport and it caught my eye. And sometimes if just one quote, you know, attracts you, it's enough to buy that because it's hard hitting. There was one quote that really appealed to me and it was as follows. Every person you meet in life knows at least one thing you don't know. Be sure not to leave him till you learn it. Every person you meet in life knows at least one thing you don't know. Be sure not to leave him till you learn it. Every man that has died has one good quality that you don't have. Be sure not to leave that janaza house till you don't learn it. Be sure not to leave that janaza house till you don't learn it. These are our teachings. And what's the benefit? A. Udhkuru mahasina mautakum. Speak about the good of your deceased. So we're practicing the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. B. The deceased will get the reward if I will emulate it. If I will change that life, it will stimulate me onto action. I mean, don't we see? And this is the beauty of Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi's life. So many ahadith have now been given a physical dimension. As Hazrat Mawlana Mansur, Damat Barakatuhum, explained so profoundly. So many things have come to the fore. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. Verily those who bring iman and do righteous deeds, it's Allah's promise, Allah will instill their affection in the hearts of the humanity. And the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you now literally see it. You literally see it. What did Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Inna Allah idha ahabba abdan nada Jibreel. We've heard the hadith many times, but just let's tie it up. Let's contextualize it. When Allah is fond of a servant, Allah calls the chief angel Jibreel. Jibreel, come here. Inni uhibbu fulanan. Jibreel, I love so and so. Fa'ahibbahu, I instruct you to love him. I instruct you to love him. I was reading the Mawa'iz of the Tanwi alayhi rahma. He writes under this ayah that the, you know, where Allah speaks about the pious servants that they love Allah and Allah loves them. He said they loving Allah, that's fine, that's good. But the real amazing part of the ayah is Allah says He loves them. They have to love Allah. Allah is doing everything for them. It's only but right that you love Him. But the real beauty of the ayah is Allah is independent, yet He says He loves them. He said that's the real kamal of the whole thing. So Allah calls Jibreel. Allah says, I'm fond of this person and I instruct you, you must love him. For yuhibbuhu Jibreel. Jibreel complies and Jibreel loves him. Thumma yunadi fi ahli sama. Then an announcement is made out in the heavens. And what is said to the dwellers of the heavens? Inna Allah ahabba fulanan fa ahibbuhu. Allah has announced His affection to an individual. Allah has instructed me to be fond of him. And by virtue of me, Allah has said, I must now make this announcement to all the inhabitants of the skies that collectively you people must become fond of him. For yuhibbuhu ahlu sama, then all the malaika, those holding the throne of Allah, those in prostration, those in ruku, every angel in every sky, attati sama, wa huqqalaha anta itta, ma fiha mawdi'u arba asabi illa wa malakun wadi'un jabhatahu sajidan lillah. Habib Sahasan said the sky started squeaking, and rightfully so. Allah hasn't left the gap of four angels, but an angel is prostrating there. There isn't the gap of four fingers, but an angel is prostrating. All this malaika in its entirety love this individual. ثُمَّ يُوزَعُ لَهُ الْقُبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Then Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, his love is gradually instilled in the hearts of the believers across the worlds. Today we see this year that the death of a person can move you so much. When somebody asked Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, which is the greater legacy, wealth or knowledge? And he obviously said knowledge. And then the person said, give me proof. And he gave multiple proofs. He said, لِأَنَّكَ تَحْرُسُ الْمَالِ وَالْعِلْمُ يَحْرُسُكَ. Number one, if you leave behind wealth, then you have to leave behind a trustee to protect that wealth. But if you leave behind knowledge, you don't have to protect knowledge. Knowledge will protect you. If I leave behind wealth for my children, then I'm worried that somebody must not usurp the wealth. They must not exploit the wealth. I hope the rightful amount at the right time is given to my children. But if I leave knowledge for them, then that knowledge will protect them. وَلِأَنَّ صَاحِبَ الْمَالِ يَنْقَطِعُ ذِكْرُهُ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ وَصَاحِبُ الْعِلْمِ ذِكْرُهُ بَاقٍ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. You speak of a wealthy man while he is alive. Nay, while he's got money. If he loses his money while he's alive, then you lose his discussion before his death also. Not only after his death. You talk of him as long as he's got money. That is the time you discuss him. As soon as that money is gone, his history and you've passed on. وَلِأَنَّ صَاحِبَ الْعِلْمِ. But a man who leaves behind a legacy. And for me, the greatest couplet in this regard is that of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, who said, قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ. قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ وَعَاشَ قَوْمٌ وَهُمْ فِي النَّاسِ أَمْوَاتُ. How do you translate this? Some people have physically died, but their character has kept them alive. While others are physically alive, but their evil habits have killed them before they physically die. قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ. Maulana has moved on from this world. But in terms of his character, he is more alive and more remembered and more cherished and more discussed than you and I as living mortals and creatures are. قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ وَعَاشَ قَوْمٌ. Some are alive. وَهُمْ فِي النَّاسِ أَمْوَاتُ. وَهُمْ فِي النَّاسِ أَمْوَاتُ. Oh, this guy phoning. You know, I don't know why I left my phone on. I dread his name flashing on my screen. And then you want to say you're alive? What good is there in your life? What good is there in your life? Your name alone creates panic amongst people. So the point I'm saying is, اُذْكُرُوا مَحَاسِنَ مَوْتَاكُمْ. When we congregate at the house of people, be sure to learn one thing. Tell me something about the man. He definitely had great things. Maulana was a great person, and hence, mashallah, many of his aspects have come in the domain and people are relating it. But trust me, as I said, every man has one good quality. Go to the house of a person, but mashallah, you're very close, you know, deepest sympathies with you and everything. Please tell me something about your father. He could be perhaps feeding the bird every morning for the last 20 years. Or he had an amazing quality of taking care of one widow. There was one auntie in the family who passed away, brothers had shunned, she was sick, but my father really took good care. Alhamdulillah, that's all I need. I need one thing to be inspired. When Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu passed away, it's in Hayatul Sahaba in the very beginning, I'll mention one, two things and we'll conclude inshallah. Muawiyah and Ali radiallahu anhuma had their respective differences, and they were giants, and there's beauty. If any person defines unity to mean that we must have unanimously have one opinion, then this person has not understood the definition of unity. If a person is aspiring for unity under the slogan of consensus of opinion, then really his very definition is flawed, because our example is Sahaba and they differed very openly and loudly on many, many issues. But our definition rather is ikhtilaf on the aqwal and ittifaq of the hearts. And this was found. Ali radiallahu anhu and Muawiyah radiallahu anhu respectively had their differences. When Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu passed away, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu called Dirar ibn Dhamura Kinani. Read the whole narration, it's in Hayatul Sahaba. He said, come here, please, man. Sit down. Talk to me about Ali radiallahu anhu. Revive the memories of Ali. So Dirar radiallahu anhu said, Muawiyah, أَوَتُعْفِينِي يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Please be kind enough to excuse me. I'm not the man to say it. Please be kind enough. He said, no, I want to hear about the man. He himself was a Sahabi, Muawiyah being the brother-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but yet he felt the need to be reminded of the legacy of the pious predecessors. He felt the need to tell me. Then Sayyidina Dirar ibn Dhamura al-Kinani, due to the request of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he went in detail. He said, Kana wallahi, and many of these qualities I literally seen in the life of Maulana Yunus rahmatullah alayh. Kana wallahi shadeed al-quwa. Kana wallahi shadeed al-quwa. Yaqulu fasla wa yahkumu adla. Yatafajjaru al-ilmu min jawanibihi. Wa tantiqu al-hikmatu min nawahihi. Yastawhishu min al-dunya wa zahratiha. Yu'jibuhu min al-libas ma qasur. Wa min al-ta'am ma jashub. Kana wallahi ka ahadina. يدنينا إذا أتيناه ويجيبنا إذا سألناه وكان مع قربه منا لا نكلمه هيبة له فإن تبسم فعن لؤلؤ المنذوم ولقد رأيت في بعض مواقفه وقد أرخى الليل سدوله وغارت نجومه يتململ تململ السليم ويبكي بكاء The narration is very very long. Just two, three points I'll touch on it. He said, Oh Muawiyah, what must I tell you about Ali radiallahu anhu? What must I tell you about the man? What about him wasn't amazing? He said, number one, he cried profusely. He was a man who was very uncomfortable with the glamour of this world. And yet, he loved the night and its darkness for communication with Allah. Now, I was told that Maulana would devote at least, you know, 2 to 3 hours of his night in tahajjud crying for the ummah. This was a common thing. This was a common thing in his life. While before I slip up, one added thing that one brother told me, he said his first hajj that he embarked on, he sold all the furniture of his house to buy the ticket for that first hajj. Maulana Yunus Poona Rahmatullah Ali used to say something, and I heard this from many other mashayikh as well, that when we look at the lives of our pious predecessors, they say, if you look at their latter part, you will be led astray. And if you look at the initial life, you will be guided and inspired. If you look at the latter part, subhanallah, everybody's saluting him, honoring him, revering him, gifts, wealth, honor. I mean, I really want to become a buzruk. This is amazing, man. Wow, this is just awesome. This is brilliant, man. Tickets paid, luxuries are provided, amenities given. He said, if you ever look at the latter part of our pious predecessors, you will be deceived. You'll get the wrong end of the stick. But if you look at the initial life, and that's the real thing. Every Nabi, every pious, in his initial stage, he was the Talib, and the nation was the Matloob. He went out, he would go to the people. Maulana mentioned this, and I heard it from other people, and I heard it from him himself as well. In his initial stages, when he started his employment in Moy River, with a meager salary, at that time Maulana didn't own a car. And weekend, he would take his two daughters, one in his hand, one in his wife's hand, get on the highway and hike to get to Durban to visit his parents. He said, this was my practice for an extended period of time. Sunday evening, get back onto the highway. If there was a kind brother that would pass by and say, there's some Muslim person here, I don't know where is he going to, let me stop the car. Who knew a time was coming in the life of this man that his death will erupt mourning across the globe. A man hiking on the road, this is the destiny ahead. Perhaps it was that simplicity that brought this day. We need to understand. I'm not telling the mutawallis to exploit the imam in any way. Because if I put my that cap on, then it's a different topic. I was speaking to one of my ustads, and he told me such a profound thing. And he said to me, study all our akabirin. Study all our akabirin. You will find two things that bind them together. Zuhud and ikhlas. Whoever they were, whenever they were, in whichever field they went, but two common denominators. They kept themselves away from the luxuries of this world, and they were sincere in their endeavors. And I said it was the sincerity of his endeavor that Maulana's private SMS to his family has now become news on every phone. You know, when Allah gives prominence to him, when you want to make yourself famous, your whole book you're trying to promote is not getting promoted. Here a man's private SMS to his daughter is now part of public news. Each man has it. This is when Allah wants to take a message forward. And that would happen on ikhlas. That would happen. Study all the lives of our akabirin. You will find zuhud, abstinence from this world. They didn't get themselves caught up in the trap and the web of this world. And neither did they get involved in, you know, name, working without titles. Working without titles. This was the spirit. So anyway, just to mention this two, three things again. He said he loved the night and he would spend it in his, you know, ibadat. And despite his closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would speak to us like how an ordinary person would speak. This afternoon I phoned Maulana's son-in-law, a very good friend of mine, Maulana Naeem. And I said, come share with me something because we have a very intimate relation. He said, just before leaving now reaching that, and this is all lessons we draw from the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is our beauty. Is this that I used to tell one of my ustads very, you know, often, whenever he used to tell me about his ustad, I used to say to him, Maulana, do me a favor, don't tell me so much about your ustad, because the more distant it becomes, the more difficult it becomes to internalize. And the closer it is, then the easier psychologically it becomes to internalize. I said, tell me about your life when you studied, because then I can tell myself, but this is a man I've seen so closely, who I lived with him together. If he did it, why can't I do it? So it makes it more possible and more accessible. And remember, our deen has an element of psychological dimension. In Jalalain it is mentioned, when Allah speaks about fasting in the month of Ramadan, and we are at the threshold of Ramadan, Allah make it easy for us all that we honor this great month and we embrace it. Allah didn't use the word 30 days. Allah said, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتْ أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتْ فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرْ Listen, in Ramadan you got to fast for few days. Few days, that's the phrase of the Quran. تَقْلِيلًا عَلَى الْأَذْهَانِ To psychologically drop, how long you fasting? It's a matter of few days. And compared to 365, any man with half a brain will tell you it is few days. Any man with half a brain will tell you 30 days to 365 days. So psychologically, we speak about this. Our real mentors are Sahaba. They can be no doubt. They can be no doubt. أُولَٰئِكَ آبَائِي فَجِئْنِي بِمِثْلِهِمْ يَا جَرِيرُ إِذَا جَمَعَتْنَا الْمَجَامِعُ And one poet said it so beautifully. هَيْهَاتَ هَيْهَاتَ أَنْ يَأْتِ الزَّمَانُ بِمِثْلِهِمْ إِنَّ الزَّمَانَ بِمِثْلِهِ لَبَخِيلُ إِنَّ الزَّمَانَ بِمِثْلِهِمْ لَبَخِيلُ It looks like the time is now mizen. And the women have refused to now start giving birth to great people. What has happened? أَيْنَ الرِّجَالُ Where are the men? Where are the people? Be it as it may, he said, I said, tell me something. He said, just before Maulana left, one day he came in the house last week, and he addressed us, myself, my daughter, and his grandchildren, mashallah, big alims. And he said to us, right, here's a bat and a ball. I'm challenging you, whoever can twist the bat like this and flick the ball, I'll pay him 5,000. Having a light moment and a sincere moment and a free moment and relaxing the borders and compromising the parameters and having a one-to-one moment, having a one-to-one moment. And he says, right. He says, and I tried to do it. I could barely do it twice. He's telling me, he says, the grandchildren started. And then Moana started playing with the ball and he did it exactly 50 times. Now our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam study his life. My mother Aisha radiallahu anha said he never entered without a smile. He never entered without a smile. And speaking, one day he came back from Tabuk Ghaliban. I read the narration. And then Aisha radiallahu anha was making horses. You know? Now, woman, just say the cupcake is nice. Whether you understand or not, and if you don't know the right word, it's not a cupcake, then don't, rather just say the cake is nice. I'm going to call it a cup. You can see the Madeira slide. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came back. And then he said, Aisha, that's so beautiful, but is that horses on those wings? He's coming back from Tabuk. His spirituality is at optimum at every time. He's returning from jihad. Heaven knows what his spirituality was at that time. But he comes home and understands the atmosphere at home is different. And he blends in at that time. And he said, Aisha, that horses, lahu janahan, that's the first horse I'm seeing with wings. Don't you know your brother Sulaiman had horses with wings? They used to also fly. Oh, yeah, yeah, right. You make a valid point. Ghaliban in Nasa'i Sharif, the riwayat is. But I've read the narration. My Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, these were type of things. So, despite his proximity to Allah, we could speak to him. We could ask him. Yujibuna idha sa'alnahu. When we would ask him, he would answer. فَإِن تَبَسَّمْ فَعَنْ لُؤْلُؤِ الْمَنْظُومِ. Oh, how those Sahaba translated. فَإِن تَبَسَّمْ, if he smiled, it was like pearls that were just flowing. And I could remember one time, he's speaking about Ali radiallahu anhu. One particular time, the night was dark, and all had gone to sleep. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu held onto his beard, and he was tossing and turning restlessly, aimless. Tossing and turning with great pain. And then he addressed the world. What did I say about our kabirin? That there was zuhud. This world, it was not an attempt, temptation. It was not something that would entice them. And that is why Allah then gave it to them. Those that want it doesn't come. And those that do not want it, Allah gives it. But for them, that's not a joy because that's not the aim. The aim is to reach Allah. And then he addressed the world and he said, إِلَيَّ تَغَرَّرْتِ إِلَيَّ تَزَيَّنْتِ إِلَيَّ تَشَوَّقْتِ قَدْ بَتَتُكِ الثَّلَاثُ عُمُرِكِ قَصِيرُ خَطَرُكِ يَسِيرُ مَجْلِسُكِ حَقِيرُ آه مِنْ قِلَّةِ الزَّادِ وَبُعْدِ السَّفَرِ وَوَحْشَةِ الطَّرِيقِ. He said, listen, O world, why are you coming to seduce me? Why are you coming to tempt me? Please try your luck elsewhere. Our address is, leave him, come here. Leave him, come here. إِلَيَّ تَغَرَّرْتِ إِلَيَّ تَزَيَّنْتِ إِلَيَّ تَشَوَّقْتِ. Look at the narration. You come into me. قَدْ بَتَتُكِ السَّلَاةِ قَدْ بَتَتُكِ. I've given you three talaqs. عُمُرُكِ قَصِيرِ. Your life is short. مَجْلِسُكِ حَقِيرِ. Sitting in your company will only disgrace me. خَطَرُكِ يَسِيرِ. Your difficulties is no difficulty. Ah, an exclamation of pain. Min qillati zad, I have no provision. Wa ba'di safar, I've got a long journey. Wa wahshati tariq, and I haven't walked this road before. And then he started crying, and he made everyone cry. And then I want to bring you to this point here. Speak to people who have been close to Maulana and how they have teared. Then Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, Dhirar, kayfa wajiduka alayhi ya Dhirar? Now that you've lost him, and you have to bury Ali with your own hands, then honestly, my mind, like I said, I was trying to begin to imagine what Sahaba went. I was trying to begin, and I cannot. I'm just numb. I'm just numb when this is a man of our time who we could relate to. And this was Allah's Nabi and Sahaba. Ya Allah, only you knew what the Sahaba went through. And only you gave their hearts the strength. The Quran says regarding the mother of Musa, وَرَبَّتْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. When Musa's mother put Musa in the river Nile, Allah said, if I didn't hold that heart, Musa's mother would have never mustered the courage to put Musa in the river Nile. وَرَبَتْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا. And we ask Allah to hold the hearts of the ummah at this time. We ask Allah to hold the hearts of the disciples at this time. We ask Allah to hold the hearts of the family at this time. Because our focus is Allah. إِلَّمْ تَجِدُوا يُونَسْ فَتَجِدُونَ رَبَّ يُونَسْ. If Yunus is absent, the Lord of Yunus is present. That's our slogan and that's our message. We turn to him. He said, وَجِدُ مَنْ ذُبِحَ وَاحِدُهَا فِي حِجْرِهَا لَا تَرْقَعُ دَمْعَتُهَا وَلَا يَسْكُنُ حُزْنُهَا. You're asking me how I feel, O Muawiyah? I feel like a woman who only has one child and that one child was cold-blooded, slaughtered in her lap. A woman who has only one child. وَجْدُ مَنْ ذُبِحَ وَاحِدُهَا فِي حِجْرِهَا. A woman who has only one child and her child was put in her lap and then somebody came and cold-blooded, mercilessly slaughtered that child. What would be the case of that woman? لَا تَرْقَعُ دَمْعَتُهَا. Her tears will never dry and her grief will never end. Her grief will never end. My time is up because it's really long. I just wanted to touch on one thing, and that's my approach to things, is because what my fear is that we've heard a lot and much was said, but then you're not taking one message, and I want to leave you on one message. I really want to leave you on one message from the life of Maulana Rahmatullah Alayh. I gave you some different dimensions and perspectives, and I've made certain appeals, and so has Hazrat Maulana and Maulana Ibrahim Sahab. They were much more articulate and much more greater. I need to learn from them. But in my humble way, I have one message, and that is the thing that touched me the most, which Maulana had alluded to briefly, and that was Maulana's kindness to his domestic servants. For me, that's a lot. That's a lot. I, in my 15 years of marriage, I have made a conscious effort to speak to every domestic, and I don't have to tell you how they change with our woman and how often they have a go, and you just walk out and leave that to them, and you know what, whatever it is you write. And you don't have to ask her when she came or not. Her face will tell you if the domestic is there or not. You don't have to find out if the domestic is there or not. You just walk in. Say, right, okay, this is my house. Yeah, no, it is my house. I have spoken to everyone. Everyone I speak to them. I said, please. I say, Allah, there's one person under my employment. I make it an effort. But obviously, there is a contradiction in my words and my actions. So I haven't been fortunate enough for one to take shahada. I cry and it pains me. I spoke to Maulana's son-in-law this morning and I just reaffirmed this. He told me, in addition to the fact, and I'm my message that I'm leaving you on this note, when you go back tonight, what did you hear? We heard much. What's your change? My change is my attitude to those who are under me. My change is, and where did I learn this? From the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which has been embodied by the great personality who we have discussed today. So we leave in on a note. We conclude in on a note. I've got to change my attitude to anybody who is under me. So I was speaking to Maulana Sanilu. I said, just confirm this with me. He said, this was a normal practice. And this wasn't considered a virtue or extraordinary, that the domestic servant will sit with us on a common table. Will sit on a common table, eat from the common cutlery and the same pot simultaneously. So it wasn't the leftovers goes to her in a plastic plate, warm it in a micro and just put in some dry bread. And No. She will sit on the same table with us. Then my wife was speaking to Maulana's daughter. And she said, often Maulana would come in the house, address the domestic, I think you're tired. Do me a favor, it's 12 o'clock, it's hot, you go away home. And the rest of the work of the day, he wouldn't burden his wife, he would do the rest of the work of the day. Now I'm saying people like this is going to really make it difficult for us on the day of Qiyamah when we fear before Allah. Because in our time, in our era, in our midst, people whom we've seen lived such a pure life, how do you and I fear to Allah? Sayyidina Luqman said, and this hit me the most. This hit me the most, and I want to conclude and I want to drive this point here. That can I change my attitude? Then he said, it wasn't only domestics. It was generally across the board, anyone under additional salary, bonus, extra money, less work, was a normal thing. Well, it was just normal. The staff in the madrasa, those, you know what, today you take off. I mean, one is to take off and tell the wife, take over. That's losing the point. That's losing the point. And then you defeated the essence. You've got to embrace the challenge when you've created. مَا خَفَّفْتَ عَنْ خَادِمِكَ كَانَ لَكَ أَجْرًا فِي مَوَازِينِكَ. My Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever you reduce the task of your servant, that's perpetual charity on your part. Ramadan, I make an appeal to Muslim bosses and employers today, and Allah, you take my message through the world. Change your Ramadan schedule. He also is fasting and he equally has a tarawih to perform. Without changing his salary, create a, adjust the program, accommodate the man. He says this was a normal thing in my, and he says sometimes we used to get offended. In fact, his daughter told my wife that one day Maulana came to my house, to his daughter's house, and he told his daughter's domestic, I think you've worked too much today. So he said, I stopped. I said, Papa, please, not in my house. Mari naddi amre jahe tame. Please, Papa, in your house, you leave my domestic alone. Say, he started it in my house. He came to my domestic. He said, no, I think, Anna, you've worked too much today. Please. I stopped him. I said, Papa, please, you know what? You got children and it's a long day. And, you know, I'm finding another one is going to be difficult. Alhamdulillah, you carry on at home. Allah make it easy for mommy. But leave me alone. I'm saying, my brother, my message is this. Sayyidina Luqman said, إِذَا دَعَتْكَ قُدْرَتُكَ عَلَىٰ ظُلْمِ النَّاسِ فَتَذَكَّرْ قُدْرَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. إِذَا دَعَتْكَ قُدْرَتُكَ عَلَىٰ ظُلْمِ النَّاسِ فَتَذَكَّرْ قُدْرَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. Oh my son, when your authority, when your position, when your profile, when your financial muscle, it provokes you, it incites you, it urges you to abuse, to be harsh, to be authoritative, to be autocrat, to be dogmatic, to be loud, then remind yourself Allah has much more authority over you than you have over your workers. If you think you can retrench, Allah will retrench you off the face of this earth. فَتَذَكَّرْ قُدْرَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. And remember Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ulama say, he summarized his entire life in two words. This again was the words of our Habib, Jami'ul Kalim. His whole 23 years of teaching and 63 years of his Mubarak life, he condensed it in two words. And that is when he passed away, he said, As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. And what is the implications? That were when his speech was barely audible, his last words, and this again was amazing in the life of Maulana, those brothers who witnessed it told us that he gave advice to someone while in his last moments. You know, it's mentioned in Nurul Ida in the footnotes, about Maulana, Sheikh Abu Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi, the distinguished student of Imam Abu Hanifa. Somebody came to visit him. So he asked the person, they started speaking about the masail of Hajj. He said, when you go and pelt, must you stand and pelt or must you be mounted and you must pelt? So he asked the person, what is the ruling? Must you stand and pelt? He said, yes, you must stand and pelt. So Imam Abu Yusuf said, no, akhta'ata, you made a mistake. He said, okay, then must I be mounted and I must pelt? He said, no, you're still wrong. He said, standing is wrong, mounting is wrong, then there's no other thing. Must you be flying? What's the answer? He said, kullu ramyin ba'dahu ramyun. Kullu ramyin ba'dahu ramyun. If you pelt in the first jamara or the second jamara, I'm going to just share something with you, maybe on a lighter note, but serious. Earlier this year, we were there in Makkah, then we went to Mina. So we were there at the jamara. Now today, the fashion is everybody wants to take photos. So my wife is telling me, look at those people, they're taking photos with shaitan next to them. Wallahi, they were standing at the jamara and they're taking photos. I said, either they don't realize what they're doing or we've become so photo fanatic that, you know what, take a photo everywhere and they pose in here with the big jamara behind and the other jamara, they're like, I'm here with the devils, go for it. It's a perfect, I mean, hello. Do you want an image with the shaitan behind you? And I said, you know how true you are. Exactly, never crossed my mind. And literally the whole family with one jamara, they're taking photos. Like, have we lost the whole thing? Have we lost it so badly? Kullu ramyin ba'dahu ramyun. Every pelting after which there is another pelting will be walking. And when you pelt the last one, then you'll be mounted. When you pelt the third jamara. He said, Imam Abu Yusuf told me this. I took 3 steps and I got to the door and I turned back and there was a cry and I realized he was gone. And I said, Subhanallah, The man is telling me the rulings of Deen, and I just heard from people that after Maghrib Salah, Maulana sat down, somebody came to him, asked for advice, he communicated, and suddenly there was a change in his face and it dropped, and we realized he's passed on. Even his last words were in Deen. His last words were in Deen. So we make dua to the Almighty Allah that He give us tawfiq. My message is one, so that this is the overwhelming. We can go back home and we can change our approach to our domestics. We can change our approach to our subjects, those that are under our employment. Every person changing their life, to bring them on board, to eat with them, not to give them different cutlery, to give them from the same food and all that. This is great legacy. This is the noble teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah fill his grave with noor. Allah grant the ummah ni'mul badal. As we mentioned, our hope is with Allah. Our contact is with Allah. Our connection is with Allah. I mentioned this very briefly, and I just touch on this here again, yeah? That we need to put things into perspective. As much as we honor, revere, and respect our pious mentors, we don't elevate them above their position. The Quran condemned the others. اتخذوا أحبارهم وأربابا من دون الله. They made and elevated their mentors into deities. That is not the teachings of Islam. That is not the teachings of Islam. Maulana is buried in a graveyard, Jannatul Ma'ala. It's a great graveyard because Khadija radiallahu anha is buried there. Because Asma bint Abi Bakr is buried there. Because Abdullah ibn Zubair is buried there. And it's his fortune to be buried with them and not their fortune to be buried with him. We need to have things into perspective. In our deen, there's moderation, there's no exaggeration. We don't overstep the mark because then we lose the plot. So we do that which conforms with deen, and these people are wasilas to bring us closer to Allah. Our goal, our aim is, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتِ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتِ. All our scholars will come and go. The Quran said, connect yourself to him who will never die. Allah inspire us all with the reality, inshallah.